The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.
And a very good morning to Jim Clark. Hello, Jim.
Hey, John. Morning.
Listen, if you have a raincoat and a pair of wellies, you can still get out into the garden. At least the soil will be a little bit softer. You kind of just feel, and every time we talk to you, we move it on a couple of weeks, but we really do feel it's all happening now. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of the gardening questions, tell us a little bit where Johnstown Garden Centre and the garden centres in general are at.
Everywhere is back open fully now. All the sections are open except the restaurants. So we still have to wait a couple more weeks for that to happen. But it's full steam ahead in the stores now, and everybody's welcome to come. And demand is very strong. Supply is a bit strained at the moment for a lot of items globally. So not everything is available all the time. So we have to deal with a bit of that at the moment. But everybody's doing their best to try and get as much stock as possible. But it's difficult if you're looking for X, Y, and Z from a particular list. It's quite difficult at the moment, anywhere you go.
Yeah. It is supply and demand, and unfortunately it's affecting all businesses at the moment. You touched on you have to wait another few more weeks to open your now infamous and famous restaurant down there as well, which is always chock-a-block under normal circumstances. Is it a case that when you do open that up, will you have to kind of open like the equivalent of a non-beer garden outside, so you'll have an outdoor?
Yeah, we've actually built that this week. A big marquee gone up, and we're putting everything in train to get it ready for opening, so it'll be outdoors initially anyway, rather than indoors, but under cover. And we have a new coffee van just arrived as well, a beautiful gleaming silver aluminium American style coffee van, and that'll be serving coffee as soon as we're allowed now outside. So we're trying to adapt and change as much as fast as possible.
Okay.
The goalposts keep moving.
Unfortunately,
At least we're moving in the right direction this time around, anyway.
Well, that's the key thing to it all. Okay, so we're already beginning to get busy, so let's get to some questions. A couple of ones that just came in via WhatsApp. Owen passed this one on to me, so let's get going with this one. I have tomato plants, and the blossom is beginning to come on them. I have Sun Gold Garden Delight. I'd like to know how to basically manage it. John and Athai on that question.
Yeah, well, you obviously have them indoors because they wouldn't be flowering if they're outdoors in this weather at the moment. So that's good. Keep them, and anybody who has tomato plants coming on, don't put them out yet. Don't think of it until at least early June and the weather becomes a lot calmer and milder. But keep them with the Gardener's Delight type. It's an upright one, and train it up a bamboo stick or some kind of support. Tie the main stem up along, because it'll get quite heavy when the tomatoes develop on it. And as it grows, keep it to one stem only. So pull out any little green side shoots that grow where the leaf joins the stem. Now you'll leave your flower trusses all right. And as the blooms open and turn yellow, give the plant a little shake once a day. It just loosens the pollen, so it drops down from one flower to the next, because you won't have bees inside in the house to do the pollination. So you need to physically just agitate the plant a little bit every day just to distribute the pollen around. And that's about it. Once the fruit has set on the bottom branch of flowers, start to feed it then with tomato food, and feed it every week, once a week.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is the rule of thumb regarding picking your tomatoes when you grow them at home is when they're ripe, you pick them because you're only beside them. So you go out and pick them as you need them rather than you pick them when they're not quite ripe and then you leave them.
Oh, yeah. Let them ripen on the plant. That's the best way. And just pick them as you need them. So there'll be some, once they start to ripen, you'll get a few every day. So it's continuous. And the more you pick from it, the more fruit you'll actually get as well. Just don't let them go too ripe on the plant or it'll stop producing.
Okay, fair point. And that, moving on to Mary's query. Mary was on. She says, I have two Christmas cactus or cacti that flowered in November and into December. But now one of them is back in full bloom. Will it flower again at Christmas?
It should do, yeah. It's probably been triggered by the light. And you can get some plants that are triggered around the time of equal day, the equinox. When you get equal day and equal night in March and September, the light is identical. And some plants, that this triggers them to start flowering for Christmas, and you get the same conditions again in March, could be triggering it to flower again now. You probably have a shorter flowering time now, but it should come back into flower again. Just keep treating it as you did every other year, and you're obviously looking after it very well when it's flowering up so well. So just keep doing the same thing and everything should be fine. But you find a lot of plants, say magnolias now flower in the spring, and that's triggered, the bud formation is triggered in the autumn. And sometimes you get more buds triggered in the spring and you get autumn flowers on a magnolia. People think that's very strange, but it's all to do with the triggers in the plant from the length of day.
Okay. That's not bad at all. Now, hold on, I'm just scrolling down to some more. Okay, let's on to Skype there. Let's go over to this one. Some questions coming in via the station. Mary has a number of carrots sown in a tub in her garden. They're very close to each other. Is there any way she can thin them out and replant the seedings as she is taking away?
No, because the root will break. When you pull them up, you're going to break the tap root, and that root is your carrot. And if you break that, you'll only end up with a stumpy little carrot with forked roots on it, so they're no good. So the thing to do would be to thin them, all right, so you have to very thickly together, just remove some of them so the others have room to grow. And sow more seeds in another week or two, and you get a little succession of them coming down, but try and sow them as thinly as possible. You may need to protect them from carrot root fly as well, which is very attracted to the scent of the carrot leaves, especially when you're tinning them. The carrot fly can smell it for miles around, and little grubs then drill holes in the carrots, eat them, so that ruins the crop. So the best way to control that is to cover the carrots with it's called horticultural fleece. And it's like a very durable tissue paper, very light, and you just lay it over the carrot leaves. It won't weigh them down or anything like that, and the carrots grow safely underneath, and the carrot fly can't get into them. So just watch out for that if you're tinning carrots, because really the smell can travel a long way.
Yeah. Is carrots? Are you saying that overall the carrots are hard to maintain or look after them, or is there just issues that just come from time to time?
That issue with the carrot root fly is a very big problem, and you can be just have your carrots almost to the stage of getting ready to eat them, and the next thing you see them starting to fail, and you pull one up, and it's full of little holes with grubs inside. It ruins them. They grow easily from seed and everything, but just to protect them from the carrot root fly will give you guaranteed results. They just need that bit of protection.
Okay. Right, let's go a different direction completely. This time to do with aquatic plants for an outdoor pond.
Yeah.
Martin was on. Martin and Eilish, they've built their house. They've dug out their pond over the last couple of years, and now they're trying to enhance the garden by purchasing aquatic plants. Also, we were thinking of putting in some floating plants as well, but what the problem is, we don't know where to start. What would you recommend that's easy to manage, and how do you go about managing?
There's generally three layers in a pond planting. One is the deep water, and you normally would plant a water lily in that, and also some oxygenating plants in the deepest section. And the lily the root stays at the bottom, but the leaf stalks come up and they float on the surface. So it gives the effect of floating plants, and the oxygenating plant stays down under the water. And then the third area is the margin of the pool where you'd have shallow water, you can grow what are called marginal plants there. Things like iris, red lobelia, some nice aquatic grasses. Iris would be another one. They generally have upright leaves that come up out of the water and their roots are in the water. A bulrush would be a typical example everybody would know.
Yep.
That type of thing. And you can have what's called poolside plants then that are actually not in the water but grow in damp soil. Maybe where the pool might overflow, you could have a wet spot there and you can get some plants to thrive in that. Things like the Easter lily or stilbe, A-S-T-I-L-B-E, they're lovely with feathery red and pink and white flowers. Floating plants as such that are free-floating in the water are not a great idea. Most of them are classed now as invasive plants. If they get out into the wild waterways, even a bird landing and picking it up on his feet can carry it to another stream or a water source, and that can become invasive. There's one called fairy moss, which is very invasive, and duckweed might be something people would know. There's a little small green thing that it sticks to everything, and if you get duckweed into your pond, it's very difficult to get it out. So
yeah.
I think avoid the free-floating plants, and the water lily as a floating-type plant.
Right, very good indeed. It's not something you'd even think about, but you just presume that they look... I mean, going over to the likes of the National Gardens and over all the way over to, you know, Enniskerry and places like Powers Court, you always remember seeing those beautiful floating plants, but I presume things have changed, and as you said, so,
the lilies look like floating plants. The flowers just floating in the water. Mm. But there are actually strictly floating plants, but they're troublesome to the environment, so it's best to avoid those now.
Okay, let's turn our attentions to cabbage this time round, and the cabbage question is, my cabbage plants are lying down at the moment. Will they come back, or do I have to do something with them?
They shouldn't be lying down, really, because with the soil moisture that we have at the moment, they have plenty of water, so it could indicate that there's trouble at the root. And like the carrots that we talked about earlier, there's a fella called a cabbage root fly. If you pull up a cabbage that's affected, especially if the leaves have gone a bit of a purpley hue, it usually means there's cabbage root fly, and you pull it up and the roots will be eaten, and you'll find that there's white grubs eating away at the root of the plant. And that's another difficult one to control. If it's in the area, they can smell cabbage, excuse me, especially when you're planting them, they get the smell of the leaves and they're attracted. And a little adult is like a midge now, it just comes and lays an egg at the base of each cabbage plant, or a few eggs, and then they hatch out and eat the roots. The way to deal with that is, when you're planting out cabbage, there's a thing called a cabbage collar. Now, it's just a little circle of material that you lay around the cabbage plant, and it's only about 3 inches in diameter. But when that's there, it forms a little collar on the surface of the ground, and the fly can't lay its egg. And that it's an organic way, it's chemical-free, no danger to you or anything, but it breaks the life cycle of the cabbage root fly. I would suspect that that's what's happening there.
Okay. Okay, that's something that you wouldn't normally think about, but there you go. Cabbage lying down, and you think, okay, well, what's going to happen next? So you need to manage that a little bit better, obviously. Let's go over to sunflowers, something else that's also drooping. Why are the leaves on my sunflower plant drooping? I've put it in a pot. It is about 15 inches high, says Anne in Newbridge.
If it's outdoors, it could be affected by the cold. We've had very cold nights. It's been a very cold spring so far, and the ground was white now two or three mornings ago, so that could be causing it. To make sure it has enough water in the pot, because they're very thirsty plants. I presume it's in a pot at this stage, but check it for water and the cold. If it has enough water, then it's definitely cold damage. Next week the weather is to warm up a little bit. Hopefully stay warm then. But there's a lot of burnt shrubs around. A lot of the top growth on plants is burnt. Especially hydrangeas are very badly affected this year. and even shrubs like magnolia, the leaves are burnt, the flowers are burnt, but be patient with them, they will come back. The plants are not dead or anything like that. They look awful at the minute, but they will quickly recover once things get a little bit milder.
Okay, fair enough. And the follow-up text, by the way, regarding the cabbage, we just got a message back in from that caller just to say the wind got them, Jim. The wind got the cabbage.
Okay. Hold on,
Jim. Sorry to interrupt you. He's just followed up with another text. Just say they are 10 inches high, good leaves on them.
Right, and they're just lying over.
Yeah.
That should be fine. They'll straighten up once the wind is gone and it's not so wet. No, this
okay.
should be fine.
Oh, that's if okay, yeah.
If they need to be transplanted, if they're young plants waiting to be transplanted, plant them a little bit deeper when you're planting them so that they're standing straight in the soil. Because usually every cabbage plant, it's like a hurley stick. At the bottom of the stem has a little bend in it and they can sort of flip over all right if they're planted very shallow. So plant them down a little bit, even bury a leaf or two in the ground if you're transplanting them. But otherwise, they'll stand back up again. They'll be grand.
Mm. Okay, and on we go to another one, and this is to do with plums, I do believe. So it says, good morning, Jim, and it says, I've been minding my plum tree really well, putting the fleece on when the frost came. The plums have formed now. If there is more frost, do I still need to cover the fleece over them, says Catherine.
No, once the flower is finished, everything is fine then. It's really the blossom parts that are very tender to the frost. And you've done very well with what you did. Is exactly right. And obviously there was a bee or two around and got in to do the job for you to pollinate them. So now they're fine. You needn't worry about it anymore. They'll be absolutely grand. With plums, just keep an eye on the young shoots at the moment. There's a lot of black fly around. If you see the tips of the shoots beginning to curl, just nip the tip off. Just pinch it off with your fingers and that'll get rid of the black fly. Because there's a lot of them around this year.
Okay.
Big numbers I've seen of several plum trees affected by it. So just keep an eye out for that.
Okay, well done. One final question for you. Anne has an apple tree with loads of blossom. I presume she means flower at this stage.
Yeah.
And on it, but blown over this morning. She's panicking a little bit. She is panicking a little bit. Can she replant it now? Its roots lifted off the ground and it was planted first 6 weeks ago.
All right, yeah. Grand, absolutely, yeah, it's only a young one. So do replant it again. Maybe put a little stake in with it to secure it. The wind is very strong. Just a little short stake in with it that'll help to secure it, keep it upright. But when you plant it as well, firm the ground down well around it. Might have been a bit soft in the ground. But no, that'll be absolutely fine.
Okay, well done on that. And by the way, thanks, Jim. Before we just go, North Kildare Beekeepers Association Observation Hive will be on display today in Crowley Opticians, Newbridge, to mark World Bee Day. World Bee Day, Jim.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I just heard that myself this morning on the radio.
I better just clarify what I said. Bee Day, not a bee day.
Oh, yes. Bee Day.
Not something you use in a bathroom.
Yeah. Fascinating to look at. Definitely go and have a look at that in the window. It's amazing to see them at work.
Yeah.
And that'd be a really fabulous thing, bring children to have a look at that today.
Cool. Okay, well done. So that's down at Crowley Opticians, Newbridge, to celebrate National Bee Day. You'll be able to see the North Kildare Beekeepers Association Observation Hive. Good idea. Jim, thanks as always. We look forward to maybe dropping down for an old cup of coffee down in the old gardening centre outside.
Yeah.
No doubt. We'll probably send Pat down to say hello to you again, no doubt.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, have a good day. Enjoy the good weather or not. But your fingers are crossed for the good warm weather next week anyway, isn't it?
Hopefully we get a run of it then. Like we need it now at this stage. especially with all the restaurants, when they do get to open outdoors, and that it's, we'd love a bit of nice, kind weather.
Absolutely. Right, have a good one, my man.
Cheers,
and we'll
John.
Talk to you in a couple of weeks' time. Cheers,
yeah.
Bye. That was Jim Clark from Johnstown Garden Centre there.
The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie